to the book of Daniel. And take your notes and we'll get the PowerPoint up. There it is. Oh, he's got a PowerPoint. He must have had extra time this week. I'm going to try to keep, I have a lot of scripture to read this morning, so have your Bibles ready. How many of you remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den? How many of you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? Sunday school, right? Well, we're going to look at some of those stories, not in their entirety this morning, but I want to talk about the lost virtue that can change the world. And I really, as I read through the book of Daniel this year, and as I was really listening to the Lord, I saw this, and it just kind of struck me. A lot of times we think that there has to be something great, cataclysmic, to happen to change a world. And really, there's one simple virtue that we have forgotten, that's lost in our culture, that if we rediscover this virtue, it could literally change the world, and I want to show you how. Okay, so that lost virtue is the virtue of a pointer working. Man. Sherry, we need to... That lost virtue is... There it is. It's the lost virtue of obedience. And I want to just kind of give you a little background. A lot of people confuse a mercy and grace. And they confuse their pointers. I'm having difficulty this morning. There we go. Confusion between mercy, grace, and obedience. I want to just give you four basic working definitions this morning. First of all, here's what mercy is. Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. When you don't get what you really deserve, that's mercy. How many know the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is what? Death. And because Jesus came to redeem us and bring eternal life, we get something from mercy that we don't deserve, and that's eternal life. We deserve judgment and death for our sin, but we don't get that. We get mercy. Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Grace is receiving what you do not deserve. So we deserve judgment. We don't receive it because of mercy. And then we get eternal life, and we receive that, but we don't deserve it. So mercy is not receiving what we deserve. Grace, receiving what we do not deserve. And if I said those wrong at the beginning, forgive me. Disobedience. Disobedience is the improper response that presumes upon God's mercy and completely misunderstands God's grace, meaning that I say, well, our God's a merciful God, so I just go and do what I want. I just go do what I want, and I know I can come and cry out for God's mercy after I'm done. Well, that's presuming upon the mercy of God. That's thinking like, you know, he's always going to just bail me out. Well, the nation of Israel, if you read the prophets, they thought that they could just presume upon the grace and mercy of God. And they thought just because they had the temple in Jerusalem, they were going to be spared judgment. But that isn't the case. Eventually, that all caught up to them. So disobedience is when we presume upon God's mercy and completely misunderstand God's grace. Obedience, on the other hand, is the proper response to God's grace that does not presume on God's mercy. It means that we understand that mercy is not getting what we deserve, and then we understand what God's grace is about, and we begin to respond to God's grace and thank him for his mercy. Look at this scripture with me. This scripture that not too many people are aware of in the Bible. And I say that because I've even shared it with pastors who never even saw this little turn in this verse. In Titus 2, 11 to 14, it says, the grace of God brings salvation, that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Notice these two words, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So the grace of God is not just getting eternal life. The grace of God is God's empowering love coming to teach you something. It teaches you now to obey. You see, if obedience is responding properly to the grace of God, we need to realize that God's grace is always trying to teach us. how to walk a life pleasing to the Lord. It's not just a get-out-of-jail-free card. As if you've got a Monopoly board. You know how you used to do when you played Monopoly, and you got that get-out-of-jail-free card, and you kind of like hid it in your back pocket, or you slid it under the table when no one saw it, so they thought when you got caught in jail, and they started laughing, he's in jail, and you go, boom, get-out-of-jail-free. That isn't what grace does. Grace teaches you to live righteously. It empowers you to deny ungodliness. It gives you victory over worldly lusts. It helps you pursue Jesus Christ and look forward to the blessed hope that we have. So that's what we want to talk about a little bit, the lost virtue that can change the world. Now, the first thing we want to look at is Daniel and his three friends. Let me just read these to you. I'm just going to read verses 3 to 7. You know the whole story about how these young men were taken from the captivity, and they were taken to be servants to the king. They were looking for really good men, a few good men, and they chose Daniel and his three friends. Verse 3 of Daniel 1, the king instructed Asphanaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and Hananiah the name of Shadrach, Mishael the name of Meshach, and Azariah, everyone said, Abednego. Remember the song? Yeah. Sherry, you want to sing that chorus for us? Oh, she's gone. She said, I like saying those when I... So I'm going to kind of share with you some observations as we go along. First observation is this. Obedience refuses to be allured by the things of this world. Think about these four young men, young, talented young men, and all of a sudden they're taken from the captivity of Judah into the very chambers of the king. There's banquet tables, and there's wine, and there's song, and there's everything, the luxuries of the world. It's kind of like the first time I got upgraded with the Priority Club Holiday Inn. I'll never forget it. You know, I finally was a gold member, and I showed into the hotel, and they said, oh, Mr. Zender, thank you for being a gold member. Now I'm an elite member. Can you believe that? And they said, thank you for being a gold member. And they said, we've upgraded your room. And I said, you've upgraded my room? I said, how cool is that? So I went, and I opened up my door, and there was this suite with a jacuzzi. I went, whoa, baby! So I had a bubble bath that night. Don't even picture me, sorry. But I called up Karen and said, I got a jacuzzi, I got a couch, I got two TVs, and a king-size bed. You see, I got all enamored with all that stuff. But Daniel and his three friends didn't. You see, they weren't allured by the worldly stuff that was trying to pull them away from the purposes of God. So obedience doesn't get allured by the things of the world. Hebrews puts it this way. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Same situation, folks. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. We have greater riches than anything this world can offer us, folks. Greater riches. Okay, Daniel 1, 8 and verse 17 to 21. But Daniel purposed in his heart. See, they wanted him to eat the steak. They wanted him to drink the wine. They wanted him to do all these things. And they were trying to get him just to be like all the other Chaldeans. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Notice, obedience always starts in your heart. It doesn't start in your mind. It starts with a commitment of your heart. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Jump to verse 17. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all vision and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, and the chief eunuch brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar the king, The king interviewed them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king, and in all manners of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all the realm. Thus, Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus, King Cyrus. Here's this. Obedience refuses to take shortcuts in life. Daniel and his three friends didn't take the shortcut that the king offered him. They took the road of obedience. They took the road of trusting God. And as a result of trusting God and not taking the shortcut, God blessed them and raised them up in favor. I want to tell you, every day, especially you young people, listen to me, every day you face shortcut opportunities to cut corners on what God's calling you to be and to do. Adults, you do the same thing. There's always a shortcut. There's always a little corner you can cut off and say, well, God's not going to wonder or matter about that. You know, that's not going to make the difference between life and death. No, shortcuts are not what obedience participates in. Obedience refuses to take shortcuts in life. What is the scripture? Deuteronomy. Listen to it. 5:32-33. A lot of scripture this morning. Therefore, you shall be caught, or careful. You should be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that you may be well with you, that it may be well with you and it may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. He's saying, walk straight. Walk according to the will of God. Don't go this way. Don't go that way. Don't take shortcuts. Stay on his path and be faithful. Daniel 2:46-49. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and he commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Observation? Obedience leads us into the fullness of God's grace and provision. Daniel didn't get there by doing anything but being obedient. He was obedient not to take a shortcut. He was obedient not to be allured by the things of the world. He was obedient to follow the will and the word of the Lord right down straight middle of the line. And God raised him up and blessed him. And God gave him favor in the eyes of the king. And he was made ruler underneath the king. And his three friends got blessed too. Do you know that obedience has coattails? You know what coattails mean, right? They talk about that in politics a lot of times. When there's a landslide victory of one politician, they say, does that have coattails? Meaning, is that going to sweep some other people with it? Your obedience or your disobedience has coattails. How you live your life affects other people. A lot of people say this, well, if it doesn't affect other people, it's okay, you know. I'm not hurting anybody. In Colorado, they think that's why they just voted in marijuana. They say it's not going to affect anybody. It's just this isn't not going to have any effect. Oh, yes, it will. Every little step we've taken to the right or the left from God's will and God's way, dear ones, has had effect. Obedience and disobedience has coattails. All right, let's keep going. Where am I? Let me find where I am. Oh, James 4:4-6, just another scripture to emphasize that. Adulterers and adulteresses, do not be deceived. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever thinks, therefore, that he wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Listen, there's that word grace again. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Obedience opens us up to the fullness of God's grace and provision. Now let's go to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel, I had to actually shorten this, and I'm trying to be as brief as I can, because I was going all the way through Daniel and the lion's den, and there was just so much I knew I couldn't do it, and I may have to shorten this morning here. But listen to Daniel 3:4-6. Then a herald cried, and this is after Nebuchadnezzar got a little puffed up. Have you ever been tempted to think that what you're experiencing right now is because of what you did? You know, well, look what I did. And all of a sudden, now the favor you're getting, the blessings you're getting are because even, listen, the temptation for Christians is thinking, well, now I'm all blessed because I've just been the most obedient. And that's pride. Listen, pride comes before a fall. And Nebuchadnezzar got puffed up. We know one time, if you read the book of Daniel, he got humbled to where he was crawling around for 7 years on a ground like an animal until he humbled himself again. So Nebuchadnezzar builds this big idol. You know, and everyone's got to worship him. You know, that seems fit, right? I'm the king. I'm great. Look what I built. Everybody worship me. Well, in Daniel 3, 4 to 6, the herald cried out, "To you is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, and psaltery and symphony." I mean, it wasn't just a simple thing. I mean, they had a big band, too, around it. "All kinds of music, you'll fall down and worship the gold image of King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the burning fiery furnace." Here's the next point. Obedience will always be tested. If you determine that you want to be obedient to God, He's going to allow you to be tested. Because He wants obedience that comes from the heart and that is refined through fire. It's easy to say, "Oh, I'll obey you," until the time gets difficult, and then we say, "We'll bail." Here was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego now. They had this choice. They could fall down and worship, or they could be thrown into a fiery furnace. And this was the test. Jesus also had a test. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 11, it said, "The devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to them, 'All these things,'" Satan said, "'all these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Daniel 3, 12 to 15. "There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon," and these now are the tattletales. There's always, you know, the enemy is an accuser, and he's also a tattletale. And so here we have the tattletales and accusers now trying to catch Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the act of obedience so they could be punished. Satan doesn't like it when you obey God. He'd rather you cut corners. He'd rather you slip around and get all, you know, he'd rather you be crying at the altar every other day for thanksgiving, for forgiveness, you know, and just staying in a state of brokenness than for you to be set free and to begin walking a life of empowered obedience for the King. I've known people who've gotten saved 5,552 times. And they're still at the same place they were 5,052 times previously. You understand what I'm saying? There's been no growth. There's been no maturity. There's been no decision. There's been no obedience. There's just been forgiveness, presuming upon the mercy, brokenness, forgiveness, presuming upon the mercy. And it's a cycle of the Old Testament in the nation of Israel. So, Daniel 3, 12 to 15, "There are certain Jews whom you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar, he rose up in rage and fury, and he gave command to bring these three guys. Notice, these are three guys that he had promoted. These are three guys that were in his inner circle. These are three guys that stood above everybody, and now because they would not bend the knee to his idol, then he's mad. Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring them before him, so they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at this time, you, when you hear the sound of the horn," I love this because it repeats it all again, "and the flute, and the harp, and the lyre, and the psaltery, and the symphony, when you hear the grandeur of who I am," basically what he's saying, "if you fall down and worship me, that'd be cool. But if not, you're going in the fire." And so the Bible says that he got so angry when they didn't that he sent and he said, heat it 7 times hotter than it's ever been before. 7 times hotter. And so they heated it 7 times hotter. They took these 3 guys in, you know the story, and they threw them in the fiery furnace. It was so hot it killed the people who were throwing them in. What's that point? Obedience is costly. Obedience is costly. Would you and I be willing to obey God to the point of death? Think about that. Would we be willing, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to go right to the point of death? Revelation 2:10 says, do not fear any of those things that you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you'll have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. I wonder, would I be faithful unto death? Will I be faithful unto death? Because the day might come in the land that we live when we will have to make those kind of choices unless there's revival in our land. Daniel 3:16-18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he'll deliver us from your hand. Hallelujah. But wait, it goes on. He said, O king, but if not. Now notice that very important phrase. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image that you've set up. What's the observation? Obedience is not always rewarded in this life. We always think that if we obey, you know, boom, God's just going to bless us. It's going to be rewarded now. We're going to live in luxury. We need to be willing to count the cost completely. And these 3 men were willing to count the cost completely. They knew God could deliver them. They knew he could. They believed it was possible, but they also knew they couldn't presume upon the mercy of God. And they didn't know what was going to happen, honestly. Some of them said, well, that's a lack of faith. No, that was just reality, folks. For us in America to think that we're always going to live in this protected bubble because we name the name of Jesus is ridiculous when our brothers and sisters in Iraq and Iran and in the Middle East are being persecuted and killed and slaughtered for their faith. If that isn't better faith than we have in America, I don't know what is. They're willing to count the supreme cost. You see, they're willing to obey no matter what. Hebrews 11:35-39, I'm not going to read that one, but you can read it. It talks about the people who were sawn in two, and it wasn't a magic act, it was real. And they were crucified, and they were killed, and they were thrown in prison. Those people didn't get delivered, folks, but guess what? They're in the annals of faith. They're written down as our examples to follow. So I ask myself in our culture, I wonder if I'm willing to obey God no matter what. Daniel 3:22-25. Watching my time. Therefore, because the king's command was so urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot to the flame of the fire, it killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the firing furnace. Do you think they were shocked when they didn't start to burn? I bet you they were. And they fell in the midst of that fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, he's standing out watching this. He can see the silhouettes of the people. And he answered, he says, didn't we cast 3 men into the fire? And they answered and said, you know the flannel graph. Come on. I was going to get you guys, but I don't have the time to do a living flannel graph. Didn't we throw 1, 2, 3? There's 4 in there. And they're walking around freely. Didn't we bind them up with cords? And they're walking around and talking in there. I want to tell you something. When you choose to obey God, when you discover the lost virtue, Jesus is always with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You can go through the fire in life and you will never be burned. You may die, but you will never be burned. Because the Lord is always with you. If you choose to obey. We don't like to sing that song very much. I'm not saying Eddie doesn't or our worship team does, but the church as a general doesn't sing that song very much, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey as we walk with the Lord. Oh, man. Well, what's the observation? Obedience will always be met with the presence of God. When you obey God, He shows up. When you obey God and you respond to His grace, He gives you more grace and He shows up. When you choose to follow Jesus, no matter what, He shows up. You know, I went to the movie with my daughter on Friday night. We went to see the movie Woodlawn. If you haven't seen that movie, you need to go see that movie. I don't go to a lot of movies, but this movie stirred my soul. This is a true story about a racially torn high school in Birmingham, Alabama. And this young man who responded, this was in 1973, the same year I was in high school. Yeah, I'm that old. And so this young man who got moved in a Billy Graham crusade sees about this racially torn high school. This isn't going to ruin it for you, folks. Don't worry. And he sees about this racially torn high school. He travels to Birmingham, Alabama to talk to the football team. And they all receive Jesus Christ. And what happens after that is phenomenal. It's a lesson about revival. It's a lesson about counting the cost. It's a lesson about obedience. It's a lesson about doing what's right. It's a lesson about the transforming power of Jesus Christ. It's a lesson about when people don't have anything else to turn to and they really finally turn to Jesus, what happens? He shows up. In the movie, and this is really true, he said, we have a symbol. They called it the Jesus Revolution. This is our symbol. One way. I used to be driving in my car, folks, and when I drove down the road, I would just go one way. I put my hand out, and I'd just go back to people, and we'd go to In-N-Out Burger, and we'd go up, and we'd go one way at In-N-Out Burger. Amen. Hallelujah, because there's only one way to have a burger. That's at In-N-Out, and there's only one way to salvation, and that's at Jesus. Sorry, I got carried away. By the way, men whose wives are at the women's retreat, we're going to Kincaid's after service. One way! One way! And Jesus shows up. He shows up. He shows up. He shows up, and He showed up there, and He delivered them. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, John 14, 16 to 17, John 14, 21, and John 14, 23, Jesus said this. He said, man, if you love me, you'll do what I say. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And here's what's going to happen. This is the really cool thing. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and He's going to dwell within you. And then me and my dad are coming, and we're going to love you, and you're going to love me, and we're going to have a love fest. And it's going to be awesome, dude. Dude, are you there? It's going to be awesome. But do you notice he didn't just say, hey, if you go to church, then I'm going to come and I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to love you and you're going to love me because you go to church. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, hey, if you get a Jesus sticker or even if you go one way, he didn't say that either. He didn't say, hey, if you carry a Dake's annotated King James Bible, that's for some of you older people. Yeah, hallelujah. You know, the three-ring binder version, buddy, not just the bound one. So you can slip in your own notes, hallelujah. Then you know you're really, oh, the Holy Spirit's going to show up. No, he said, if you love me, here's what it's all about. Just do what I say. Just do what I say. Just do what I say, and I'll show up. Do you realize if we just did that, that's a simple thing. What could happen in your school? What could happen in your place of business? What could happen in your family? What could happen in this community? What could happen in this world if we just rediscovered the power of simple obedience empowered by His grace? See, I got a lot more, but I'm going to sum it up. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Obedience can change the hearts and opinions and even our enemies' hearts and opinions. In Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar begins to worship the God of heaven. He said, man, listen. That was the God of heaven in there delivering these three boys. And I'm going to tell you what, nobody better badmouth that God anymore. You see, it turned Nebuchadnezzar's heart, not fully yet, but it turned him to respect the living God. Do you know if our government just respected the living God, where we'd be today? And then in Daniel chapter 6, after Daniel's thrown into the lion's den, and you remember that story, and Daniel just, he's thrown in there, nothing happens to him. And then they throw in all the people who tried to get him thrown in there, and you know what happened to them? It was Kincaid's after service for the lions. Listen to this. See, I don't think we connect the dots a lot. Listen, this is so, if you capture this, you're going to get something big this morning. Who was the king of Media Persia that released the Israelites to go back to Jerusalem to begin to rebuild the temple? Who was it? King Cyrus. You remember that? And his dad was King Darius. King Darius, his dad, you know, did you hear at the very beginning I said that Daniel was alive all the way through the reign of King Cyrus? This one man's life of obedience, and it was King Cyrus who took these people who were captive for 70 years and finally said, you know, God spoke to me. Go back and build your temple. Listen to what his dad said after the lion's den. King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth. Notice this. This was the ruling nation of the world. This was the dominant power of the world. Everybody was subservient to Babylon and then to the nation now of the Medes and the Persians. No one else was greater than this nation. And he writes to everyone, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall endure to the end of the earth. Come here, worship team. Hallelujah. And he delivers and rescues. And he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and into the reign of Cyrus, king of Persia. Do you see it? The obedience of these four guys took a carnal, dirty, rotten, killing, thieving nation of Babylon and the Medes and the Persians, and it turned the kings of those nations to the living God. Obedience of four guys amongst thousands and thousands, millions, four guys down to one guy. James, you can be that one guy. Kai, you can be that one guy. Al, you can be that one guy. Jimmy, you can be that one guy. Mitch, you can be that one guy. Natalie, you can be that one girl. Got to get a few girls in there. Hannah, you can be that one girl. Carly, you can be that one girl. You see, it's not superstars that God's looking for. It's simple, grace-filled believers who will just obey. Empowered by his grace, just trust and obey. Let's stand. Let's stand.
Hold on, wait, don't stand yet.
Oh, don't stand.
I know, I'm going to throw a curveball here. There it is, test, okay. I thought Eddie was going to tell you, and I guess he thought I was going to tell you, anyway.
It's all right, I'm good, go.
And please bear with us. This kind of happened, and it all seems to go together. I want to make sure that you understand this. The last several weeks have been really tough for Eddie and I. It's kind of weird. You know, if you're a couple, usually one's up, and if the other one's down, the other one brings the other one up. Both of us were kind of in a funk the last 3 weeks or so. And then we just kept getting things piled on top of one another, on top of one another. We're like, we quit. That's it. We're done. Both of us in kind of an irritable mood and in kind of a not good situation. Even Talison's like, you guys can't be like that anymore because I can't do both of you like that. But you know, it keeps going. It keeps piling up. And I have to say that I had two people that really made an impact on me, Carlos and Amber. you guys have no idea. Amber, you have no idea. You'll know in a second. But it was a reminder that, you know, we're all constantly looking down, and we're looking down when we get in those things. And we forget we have to look up and see what's around us. And then we forget that we really have to look up. You know, we have to keep looking up, because no matter what you're going through, it doesn't matter. So what Pastor was just talking about right now, it all kind of goes with it. So Amber sent me something on Facebook, and it changed my entire thought process. I came home to Eddie. It changed him. It's like all of a sudden, just anyway. So I want you guys to remember that not everybody feels comfortable raising their hands, but there's a reason why we raise hands. You know, when we're right here, it's kind of like we're receiving and stuff. When we're like this, we're giving back. We're praising. And I want you to listen to songs a little bit different from what you guys are used to here, so bear with me, but I think you'll like it.
Sure is hot out here. No, I don't mind though. Glad to be free. You know what I'm saying?
But I want to invite the altar prayer team members who are here to come forward and get ready to pray at the end of the service. But I want to give you one last verse. I want to tell you something that if you're thinking in your heart that you can't obey because the things you're battling against are too strong, or that the chains have been so rusty that nothing can set you free, let me read this to you. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, listen, yet you obeyed from the heart. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having now been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. He said, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your mouth, everything else, as slaves of uncleanness, now give your hands and your feet and your mind and your body and your mouth and everything you do as slaves of righteousness unto holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. And what fruit did you have in those things of which you are now ashamed? Oh God, you've set us free. And you've given us grace that not only saves us and gives us eternal life, but it's grace that teaches us. It's grace that empowers us. It's grace that meets us at the point of our need and helps us to overcome. Because greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. So bring on the wind and bring on the rain. Bring on the fiery furnaces. And bring on the lion's dens. It doesn't matter. Because if we'll but trust and obey, you'll meet us with your presence and your full outpouring of grace and provision. And we will be more than conquerors through him who loved us. Greater is he who is in you, dear one, than he that is in the world. If you're here this morning and you need prayer and ministry to just really solidify that walk and commitment this morning, then as we dismiss, come forward and let the altar prayer team members pray for you. If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you know this is your morning. You know why you know that? Because that tug in your heart. It's not me. It's not the words I've said. It's the Holy Spirit. He's grabbing your heart. It's as almost as if a fist is around, a hand is just grabbed around your heart. It's not a hurt, but it's just a sense of warmth and pulling. You feel something pulling you that's beyond yourself. That's the Holy Spirit pulling you to Jesus. If that's you, you need to come forward and say, I need Jesus. This is my morning. This is my day. Whatever your point of decision or commitment is, may the Holy Spirit of God fall upon you and empower you and overshadow you with God's grace, His mercy, and His love to enable you to take that next step. Be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Be like Daniel. Rise up and live for God in this ungodly world and shine as lights in the darkness as you go forward. Now receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you shalom, his peace, the peace that passes all human understanding, the peace that the world cannot give, the peace that no one can steal away. Go in that peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, come forward and be ministered to. Thank you for being with us.